Our second lesson is also from Mark 7, 14 through 23. Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you. You understand there is nothing outside of a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." So when he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. Then he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. The words of Wade. There's a danger that I've realized in the past few weeks with my sermon titles. This can all be linked to my recent illness with the right interpretation. Interrupted by coughing, unprepared, Dan Selock reading a sermon, and now Inside Out. Don't read too much into this week's title and its connection with illness. Like most of our passages, there's a lot going on here. We as modern readers need to make sure that we don't read this passage to be about the Jews versus the followers of Christ. This passage is not about Jews versus disciples. It's all about the ways in which we say one thing and do another. The passage starts, as many do, with Jesus teaching and with there being people in the crowd who take issue with his teaching or the behavior of the disciples. There are Pharisees and scribes in the crowd, and they notice that the disciples don't wash their hands before eating. This is not so much that they don't wash their hands at all, but that they don't wash their hands and their food in the same way as the tradition of the elders. So the question comes up, why don't your disciples do things the right way? And just like in families, there's judgment and condemnation included in the question. If you were faithful, Jesus, your followers would follow the rules. If you were really sent by God, your people would be holy, and we'd be able to see that because they would always follow the rules. Because your disciples eat with unclean hands, how can we trust anything about you? You may have heard these conversations at other places or in other settings. It isn't like we've left them behind. Jesus has a response for them. Quoting from Isaiah, he talks about people who honor God with their lips while their hearts are far from God. The prophet continues, calling out those who follow human teaching and elevate them to divine commands. Jesus then gets very specific with these folks and says that they are abandoning the commandments of God to follow human traditions, including making a gift to God that undermines their ability or willingness to honor their mother and father. Simply put, Jesus would like to call the messengers class in on this conversation. Cue them to say, if you're going to talk the talk, then you have to walk the walk. Okay, say it with me now. If you're going to talk the talk, you have to walk the walk. Again, this is not part of a conversation that has changed in the intervening 2,000 or so years. One of the biggest complaints against people of faith is that we say one thing and we do another, which is not an untrue accusation. Many of us, if not all of us, most of us, are cowards when it comes to applying our faith in public or in admitting that our faith and our lives don't always match up, or that we pay too much attention to the traditions of the church and not enough to the love of Jesus Christ. We've thrown out the divorce since they broke their vow to a God. hiding on the side of legality versus standing up for the love of God, for hurting and broken people. We have denigrated those who work on the Sabbath or the society that allows it, all the while eating a Sunday post-church lunch in restaurants or swinging by the store to just get one more thing. We have all too often shoved the vulnerable in our society out of the church because they didn't have their lives perfectly put together, telling them to come back when you get right with God, as though we are perfectly put together and right with God. As you can see, this is not a first century people problem. It's a people problem. And that's what brings us to the last half of this passage and to Jesus' response to people like us who fall short on fully living into faith, hiding behind the trappings of tradition and ritual or the pressures of our society. Jesus undoes one piece of tradition that will need to be reiterated to the disciples later in Acts and declares that it isn't what we take in that defiles us or makes us unclean, because that only goes into the stomach, not the heart, and then goes out into the sewer. It's a very graphic, very basic illustration that works. It works then and it works now. What goes into your mouth does not poison your spirit or change your heart. It's not about food being clean or unclean. It's about what comes out of us that defiles. It is from within, from the human heart, that the evil intentions come. We sort of get that until we don't. All too often, we swap and we look on the external. We do the equivalent of noticing that people aren't washing their hands in the way that we would. We notice when they speak a different language, when they have a different skin color, when they talk differently from how we do, when they don't know the Lord's Prayer, when they don't hear well or see well or move well, when they dress differently from how we expect people to dress, when they smell differently from how we think they should, when boys dress like girls and girls dress like boys, when men hold hands and women kiss, when cars or homes have signs for political candidates or positions. After we notice, what is it that comes out of us? Right now in the USA, defilement seems to flow freely out of our hearts. We can have a long discussion about how and why that happens, and we'd probably disagree about the why. I don't think we disagree about the reality of the flowing of defilement. So, to listen to Jesus on this matter, if we want to reduce the amount of defilement that comes out, we need to address our hearts. There is a reason that in the Old Testament, God repeatedly promises to write God's law upon our hearts. As both the Old Testament and Jesus repeatedly remind us, the problem isn't the other. The problem isn't the orphan or the widow or the alien resident in the land. The problem is in our hearts. How does our approach to one another change if we look to what comes out of us as the problem, instead of how we see the other? Do we imagine that we can change the dialogue in our nation, our homes, our communities, our world, if we look to what is coming out of our hearts? What happens if we stop looking outside ourselves for evil and are willing to look into our own dark hearts? What if it's not what's out there, but what's in here? That is the problem. As the people of God, we are called to go deeper than the surface and to pay attention to what God is about in the world, not just the ritual trappings of our faith. Are we willing to look to our own hearts, to weigh our own ills, and to see if we're following the human precepts or if we're following the one true and living God? To God alone be the glory. Amen.